You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you're as glad as Susan is. My name's Keith, one of the leaders around our church, and this morning we're jumping back into our series in which we're going through parts of the book of Acts together. And if you've been tracking along, you've probably have noticed the Holy Spirit is like on full display in the book of Acts, isn't it? For example, in chapter 1, in the very beginning, Jesus promises that this, he's going to give instructions through the Holy Spirit. That's verse 2. In verse 5, he says, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 8, Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's just clear in the start of Acts, the Holy Spirit is the central character and the main driver of all the good that we see in the early church. And today's passage is no different. And we will get another glimpse of how active and how direct the Spirit of God can be, as well as how we are called to respond to the Spirit of God. And so with that said, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Before we read today's section of the Scriptures, let's acknowledge that the presence of God is with us right now here in our midst, whether we're together virtually or in the room. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds what it is God has for us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. God, I pray that all my friends who are in apartments and living rooms right now would sense your presence as we are all gathered together in the name of Christ. Holy Spirit, open us up to what it is that you have for us, what you want for us and from us. We yield our hearts to you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Chapter 16, verse 6. And as I read this, listen to how God's Spirit moves in this passage. Listen for the Spirit of God moving. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia. So a vision now of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So after Paul had seen that vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us, God had spoken to us, God had directed us to preach the gospel to them. Do you see how active the Spirit of God is there? Isn't that amazing? Verse 6, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Verse 10, concluding then that God had called us. Do you see how this passage describes an active engagement with God's Spirit? Do you see that? And honestly, as I've studied this passage this week, I've asked myself, do I hear the Spirit as clearly as it seems to be described in this passage? Do you hear the Spirit this clearly, that direct? And if why not, what does a Spirit-led life look like? What would it look like to be more Spirit-led? I mean, as we read the book of Acts, it's almost seeming like we're supposed to live in a way where every single moment is guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, convicted by the Spirit, counseled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. So today, I kind of just want to just explore together what it looks like to tune our lives into the voice of the Holy Spirit. What does it look like to tune our lives in? To the point where the Holy Spirit could say, Keith, don't go there. Or Riverside, I want you going there. And we would be able to recognize God's Spirit, his voice, and respond in faithfulness. So with that said, I also make a couple observations. And to start off, before we talk about how we actually hear the Spirit of God, how we actually hear the Spirit's voice, I think it's important to recognize that when the Spirit spoke to Paul and his companions, they responded with obedience. Do you see that? They responded to the beads. In verse 6 and 7, there are two examples of the Spirit saying no, and then Paul and his companions, they follow the direction. They actually yield their lives to the Spirit. which kind of makes me ask the question, or maybe make a statement. I'll put in a question form, not a statement form yet. Why ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction if you're not willing to follow whatever the Spirit of God says? I mean, asking for guidance really only makes sense if you're willing to yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Word of God that the Spirit illuminates. Yield to the Spirit's work. If you're not willing to yield, why even ask? And by the way, in today's passage, we see that Paul and his companions, they travel through the region of Galatia. They travel through Galatia in this passage. Well, later on in his ministry, Paul wrote an entire letter to the people of Galatia, the Galatians. In that letter, he wrote this. Listen to this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Did you know that? If you follow the Spirit of God, you might not get to call the shots completely in your life. But so often, I want to be my own God. I mean, I want Jesus, but I also want to kind of be God myself. But if we're led by the Spirit, it means that we're committed to being responsive to the Spirit, right? And so, asking for the Spirit's guidance only really makes sense if you're actually going to follow the Spirit's guidance. If the Spirit speaks to you and you go, read a scripture and you go, I don't like that one. And the Spirit brings conviction, you go, no thanks. I wonder, does it even make sense to ask for more of the Spirit's guidance if you're not willing to follow in the first place? I mean, Galatians makes it clear. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're not going to always get to do what you want to do. That's what it says. It doesn't make sense for you to ask the Holy Spirit for advice or guidance on your career if you're not willing to do what the Spirit leads you to do when it comes to your career. I mean, don't ask the Spirit to make your marriage or your dating life better or your single life better if you're not willing to obey whatever it is he says, regardless of how radical or how sacrificial it might be. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense for you to ask God to bless your finances if you're not going to honor him and what you already have and listen to how you're already stewarding what you have. One pastor I like to read says it this way. It only makes sense to ask God for guidance in the context of a life committed to seeking first the kingdom. Because the kind of guidance that the Spirit gives is this guidance to live our lives, you know, towards God and his kingdom. If we're not willing to do that, we're not going to like what he says. And if we choose to ignore the guidance of the Spirit and just disobey, it's like we're sticking our fingers in our ears and going, la, la, la. La, la, la. I'm not listening to you. So as we start this little navigation, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You got to determine from the start in your heart, are you going to be obedient to what the Spirit says? Will you follow what the Spirit says? It then only makes sense to have that settled before you really try to tune in your heart to the Spirit. Because the Spirit will say some things we're not always going on the surface. Yes. Are we willing to follow? Are we willing to obey? Now, I say that and you could go, oh, Keith, that sounds like a major, major sacrifice. And almost like a, does it sound like a killjoy? Did I make that sound a little bit like a killjoy? Was I kind of a little bit Debbie Downer on that one? Was I? Okay, let me just, thankfully, this is not a killjoy passage. It doesn't say, you're not to do whatever you want and that's it. I mean, it does say that. But that's not all it says. In verse 9 and 18, it goes on to describe what a life filled and led by the Spirit looks like. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, to live a life yielded to the Spirit, you're going to have this fruit in your life of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And against such things, there's no law. See, those who belong to Christ, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and their desires, but now that we're led by the Spirit and these fruits of the Spirit come into our life, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How many of you think you'd have a better life if you could be described as a more loving person? Right? If people around you just said, man, Keith is such a loving person. Yeah, amen? Can I get some amens? Keith is so joyful. Amen, right? I just think if people said, man, Keith is just the most loving, kind, joy-filled person I know. I personally think I would probably be living a pretty fulfilling life, right? I'm not saying you do this out of that transaction. I'm just saying this is not a killjoy verse. This is a great life to live. I think it'd be a pretty full life, a fulfilling life, to be so full of love, to be so full of joy, to have so much kindness that you'd be living at peace. I mean, I just think that's awesome. So I think in light of these two, this passage, I think you have two options. Do whatever you want. Scripture seems to say that's not going to probably end up well. Or you can walk in step with the Spirit, which will lead joy and peace and love. And I'm hoping you want the second option, because that's where I'm going to go now. So if you don't want that, I guess feel free to tune out. But because I'm not going to talk about what it looks like to keep in step with the Spirit of God. And there are many phrases in this Galatians 5 passage that points out what this kind of life looks like. I mean, look at this. The passage calls us to walk by the Spirit. It then says later, we're to be led by the Spirit, which will then produce fruit by the Spirit. And then again, live by the Spirit. And then finally, keep in step with the Spirit. And hopefully you see right now in those statements, it takes some effort, right, to walk in the Spirit. Do you see how it takes some focus and some intentionality to walk with God's Spirit? I mean, verse 17 is clear. There's this pull between the flesh and the Holy Spirit, and we have a role to determine which one gets fed and which one gets starved. So what I want to do for the rest of my time is just talk about this process of having our lives directed and partnered with God. I'm going to use this one phrase from this passage, which is this phrase in here, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Now, I've shared this a couple years ago in a previous sermon, so for some of you, this might be a review, but I think it's important to point out again this idea of walking. It's a major illustration throughout the entire Bible. It's one of the most common words used to describe this journey of faith. For example, Genesis 5, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Genesis 6, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time because he walked faithfully with God. Psalm 23, even though I walk the darkest valley, this is faith, I'm walking out my faith through the darkest season of life possible. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I think I can already show you in Galatians how it's all over the New Testament, this picture of walking with God, walking in the Spirit. Walking is a very helpful metaphor to describe this journey of life, because walking with God does give us a picture of a journey, right? Walking is not static. I mean, being a Christian is not just you're forgiven at one moment in time and now you hold on until you die, until you go to heaven. I mean, no, being a Christian is walking in faith with the Lord, walking with the Holy Spirit towards mission, towards life transformation. As followers of Christ, we're going somewhere. That's why walking is a great picture of the Christian life. So in light of this, I want to make some observations about walking and how I think it applies pretty well to our faith journey. So some observations about walking. I'll start off by saying this. First off, if you're not disabled and you're over the age of one, walking is pretty much something everyone can do, right? I mean, if you're disabled, I understand that walking's a challenge or maybe not even possible. But for the vast majority of people, would you agree with me, walking's not that spectacular? There's nothing that amazing about walking. I actually shared this a couple years ago when I talked about this in the past, how sometimes people will come to me and show me their little baby video, and they'll say, look, little Johnny took his first step. And I, as a good pastor, go, oh, it's Nikki, Melody is walking. Oh, it's Nikki, it's so precious. But in my heart, I'm going, seeing that. I mean, if Melody is at breakdancing at age two, I'm impressed. If Melody can breakdance, whoa. But walking, no offense, not that spectacular. In fact, a couple years ago, after I shared this, Mike Hotelling has come up to me almost every week and say, hey, Keith, look at Josephine. She can now walk. Every week, he almost does this to me. Well, the Hotellings just gave birth to their son, Thaddeus. Isn't Thaddeus so precious? So precious. And Mike, I'm assuming you and your wife are at home right now. Ask God to tell you, when Thaddeus takes his first step, I will not be all that impressed. I'm just being honest, buddy. I'm not that impressed. Unless he does it this week, then I'm going to be blown away. I mean, if it's in the next 3 months, you let me know, Mike. That's, but other than that, I mean, I'll celebrate with you, but I've seen it before. Sorry, I know I'm a cold-hearted pastor, but I'm an honest pastor. I'm just honest. Friends, there's nothing spectacular about walking for the vast majority of us. Would you agree with that? It's an everyday normal part. It's an everyday thing we do. And I think it's a great picture of being connected with the Spirit of God. Do you see how awesome of a picture that is being connected with the Holy Spirit? Because most of the time, this is going to blow your mind, most of the time walking with the Spirit is not spectacular. It's just walking out our faith. I mean, look, I love hearing stories of deliverances. I love it, and I believe it. I've met people in our church who've been miraculously delivered from alcohol addiction or drug addiction. I love hearing how God, at times, instantaneously changes someone. I've met people with that testimony, and I praise God for that. But for every one of them, there's 99 others who've gone through the unspectacular process of going into recovery, joining a support group, receiving weekly prayer in a home group, and going to counseling. And sometimes in a church, we only share the miraculous deliverance testimonies, but we rarely share the unspectacular stories of battling through our habits and fighting our addictions and struggling with our apathy towards the things of God. I mean, my experience, most of us are not instantly delivered. No, we have this unspectacular process of walking with the Spirit as the Spirit forms us, walking with the Spirit as the Spirit leads us. It's unspectacular most of the time, but we just walk with the Spirit. Which leads me to my next thought about this biblical picture of walking. And that is kind of like walking is slow, isn't it? I mean, walking's pretty slow. And meaningful change in our lives is typically slow. I mean, you find yourself taking 3 steps forward and then maybe a couple steps back. You kind of fall back. You battle depression again, battle gluttony again, battle anxiety again, or apathy, or jealousy, or anxiety. I mean, the change in our lives, true change in our lives, seems to happen slowly, doesn't it? And sometimes we even wonder, am I changing at all? I feel like this battle has been here for so long. Am I even changing at all? Is it really happening? But if we're walking with God, if we're walking with the Spirit, He is changing us. He is forming us. It's just a slow process. It's a slow process. Similar to how a kid grows. I mean, you've all saw a picture of Thaddeus now. So if you just stared at Thaddeus Hoteling for the next 3 hours and said, I got to watch him grow for 3 straight hours, you're not going to see much, right? But if you don't see Thaddeus for a year or two, and then you see him again, you see a picture again, you're going to go, whoa, whoa, you've really grown. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Walking is slow. Transformation is slow. Living out mission is sometimes very slow and very unspectacular. I think there's a reason. The Scripture does not say, you know, pole vault in your faith with the Lord, or high jump in your faith with the Lord, or long jump in your faith. It's walk. It's walk. We don't get to high jump or pole vault or long jump. No, it's just the unspectacular process of walking. It's a left foot, right foot. I mean, I've been a pastor now for 16 years. I've had so many people come up to me over these 6 years and say, Pastor Keith, I've got an emergency. Can you help me out? And they want me to have a simple fix for them. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, Pastor Keith, I'm sinking in debt. I'm about to be thrown out of my apartment. Do you have an answer? Do you have any way that I can pay off all of my bills, pay off all my creditors, and pay off my back apartment? Is there anything you can, I mean, I kind of want to pole vault into a solution for my debt. But the Bible's kind of clear. Usually doesn't work like that. There's just the unspectacular, slow, sometimes boring, mundane, repeated actions that you do every day, like biblically directed conviction, changing your spending habits. I know. Do you know that sometimes the Spirit of God might lead you to change your spending habits? Do you know that the Spirit of God might say, spend a little less, earn a little more, spend a little less, give a little more, save a little bit, pay the apartment first before you get the nice little side thing you want. I know it's not spectacular. You'd rather have 10 grand show up in the mailbox, I know, but most often, walking with the Spirit of God is left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. People say, Keith, my marriage is falling apart. My wife, she says she wants to leave. Could you preach a special sermon just for her? It doesn't work that way. It does. I mean, if you're married, it's Monday morning, you wake up and you pray for your spouse and you're kind to them. Tuesday morning, you wake up, you pray for your spouse and you're kind to them. Wednesday morning, you wake up, you meet them for lunch and you go to the counseling appointment together because it's part of walking in the Spirit, bringing wise counsel. Friday morning, you come home from work, you cook dinner together and you pray with them. It's left foot, right foot, walking with the Spirit. And over time, hopefully, relationships grow, especially if both folks are engaging in the unspectacular, slow process of walking out our faith with God. You eventually do get to the promised land, but it's unspectacular. A lot of journey along the way. And friends, this is true with our walk with God. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for the mountaintops. When we dive into the waters of baptism, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like the whole church, yes. And it's just amazing. It's beautiful. But long-term intimacy with God also requires this unspectacular, slow process of walking out our faith. Monday morning, you wake up early, choosing to spend focused time with God. Tuesday morning, you don't feel like getting up, but it's unspectacular, but you do, and you get up and you open the Word and you say, Holy Spirit, would you illuminate it? Tuesday, you start driving to work. Instead of putting on the radio, you say, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to listen. Would you speak? Wednesday night, you choose to go to a home group. You didn't want to go, but you say, I just know that when the people of God gather together, something special happens. And so it's felt pretty dry the last 3 weeks, but you know what? Sometimes it's just unspectacular to be together, but I'm just going to go and trust the Spirit will do the work through the people of God. Sunday morning, you come here, gather with followers. It's just an unspectacular left foot, right foot, walking out our faith with God. But I will say this. While I do say it's slow, and I do say it's unspectacular, it does 100% require perseverance. Walking requires perseverance. Look at verse 25. It says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I mean, let us keep in step. Keep walking. Don't give up. Persevere. Persevere. As a pastor of 16 years now, I've had folks come with me at times and say, you know, Keith, it's not working. What's not working? I've tried counseling. It's just not working. Maybe it's a broken marriage. It's a hypothetical reason. It's a broken marriage. Keith, it's not working. We've tried counseling, but it just doesn't work. And then I dig and I find out for 25 years they have had these cycles of destructive habits, endlessly fighting for 25 years, carrying around truckloads of resentment, 25 years of wounds and pain stacked up on top of each other. And then I say, well, tell me about your attempts at counseling. Well, we went 2 times and it didn't fix us. I'm like, really? Really? 25 years of fighting every single day and it wasn't fixed in 2 counseling sessions. Yeah, you clearly counseling doesn't work. I mean, I literally have those conversations sometimes. Like, you gave it 2 shots after 25 years of walking out fighting and walking out fighting. And friends, I do believe in deliverances. I believe in God doing amazing things. I absolutely think at times God will instantly heal or deliver people. I absolutely believe that. But usually Christian mission, Christian formation is the long process of relying on God's grace, the long process of yielding to the Spirit and His ways, the long persevering process of committing ourselves to walking out our faith in regular prayer. Regular times in Scripture, regularly committed to the people of God. with changed beliefs and changed behaviors. There's almost never a one-step method to our faith. That's why I do appreciate organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous. They're honest about the fact it's going to take 12 very long, very long steps that you might have to do again and again. And by the way, those steps all require you to be surrounded in community. I'm so thankful they didn't go, it's a one-step program, because that'd be a lie, wouldn't it? One step is not our journey with Christ. Keep walking by the Spirit. Keep walking. It's a lifetime of left foot, right foot. And it's slow. It's unspectacular. It requires perseverance, but I will tell you, it is worth it. It's worth it. And eventually you'll see the change both in you and around you. Eventually you're going to realize relationships have improved because God's formed you. You realize you're not as bitter as you used to be. You'll get glimpses of God's kingdom expanding after years of just plowing a ministry field. You didn't see it happen that quickly, but after a couple years, you look back and go, oh, there is fruit by walking with the Spirit of God throughout the mission of God. Here's the problem. And it's not really a problem, but maybe it's a problem, I don't know. We preach through books like Acts, okay? In the book of Acts, you read it and you go, Keith, it sure does seem like lots of miracles, right? I mean, if you read the book of Acts, it's like amazing after amazing after amazing after amazing, isn't it? It's been pretty cool just going through these devotionals together going, wow, unbelievable. Friends, the book of Acts covers 32 years worth of time. 28 chapters, covers a year's worth of time. And this is me speculating. This is just pastor speculating. I think that for every spectacular Holy Spirit deliverance Pentecost Sunday, like miraculous move of God, there's also hundreds of days of just the unspectacular walking with the Spirit, committing to the Word, being in community, confessing sin, being humble. I just met hundreds of days probably in these 32 years of walking with the Spirit. And we have a role to play in that, right? We have a role to play. We've got to put in the effort, but we're not the ones who make the change happen. No, we're walking with the Spirit. The Spirit does the change as we connect our lives, we walk in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. It'll produce fruit of the Spirit. Then again, live by the Spirit, and then keep in step with the Spirit. Which, friends, makes me just, honestly, like, if you're an anxious person, you're not going to get over that on your own. If you're a prideful person, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to beat that on your own. You can't beat that addiction on your own. You can't beat that lack of forgiveness on your own. You can't launch that ministry heart you have or that ministry plan you have on your own. You can't. It won't work. Don't persevere. It's left foot with the Holy Spirit. It's right foot with the Holy Spirit into mission. It's left foot with the Holy Spirit into formation. It's right foot with the Spirit into community. It happens. We read like the book of Acts and we think we can do this on our own, but what we're missing is the 32 years of walking with the Spirit. We forget the fact that it took years of commitment to each other before. I mean, Paul was with Ananias and the people in the church like years before he was released into Christian mission. But we just hop the next chapter. We miss the years of formation Paul had before missionary journeys happened. I just pray that we would be a church that could be described as being kept by the Holy Spirit, as Galatians 5 says. I don't know if right now, I think we're on our way, by the way. But I don't know right now if someone would observe our church and say, oh, Riverside Church is kept by the Spirit. I mean, I think we are theologically kept by the Spirit, don't get me wrong. I just don't think like we always acknowledge the Spirit's work. I wonder, can we point to times where the Spirit of Jesus clearly told us not to do something and we said, all right, we were planning on it, but we're not going to do it, like we see in Acts 16. where we were like, we had the ministry plans, it was all laid out, but then the Spirit last minute said nope, and so we scrapped them and we said, all right, listen again. Or could we really say that we're walking so closely to the Spirit that we could say, clearly the Spirit of God is concluding that we should go to Macedonia and preach the gospel? Are we as a church discerning the Spirit like that? I think we are to a degree, but oh, I pray that it would grow more. I pray it would grow more. Friends, this is all possible. It's all possible because we have a God who also comes alongside us, right? We have a God who walks with us, which is most evident at the communion table, right? Remember, oh yeah, the God of the universe came down in flesh and walked the earth. And then in flesh, he walked in carrying a cross to Calvary. And then eventually he walked out of that grave. But he walked with us. And so as we come to the table of communion this morning, we're remembering his body broken for us, symbolized in the wafer, and his blood shed for us. Remember through the cup. And I want to encourage you guys this morning, we're going to sing three more songs. I'm going to encourage you to walk up, make the movement to come and receive the elements and then eat and drink as you're led back at your seat. If you're with us at home, go get some elements and walk out this journey with us together. There's two tables in the back and one up here with elements. Let's respond by singing and walking out our faith at the table of communion. And if you need prayer for anything, I'll be in the back. Be able to pray with you. Holy Spirit, I am thankful for the 25 years I've had of walking with you since 1996. 25 years of walking out this journey that you've called me to and you've called us to. God, I pray that we would continue to be faithful people who would live out the Spirit's work, yield to the Spirit's work. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Do the work that you want to do. Come and have your way. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.